Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for Unabombers, and we're getting bombed.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
We're the Drunk Guys, and this week we're reading a very special book picked by our patrons, and I'm starting with a beer.
Kind of.
It's a very special, and they did pick it. So,
unknowingly.
I think we should explain the poll this month. Every month, if you're new to the podcast, we have a patron poll where we give choices, but this month we went ridiculous, and the choice is just pick one of us to pick a book, and we won't tell the other guys what it is, and there are no rules. It was like a vibe test, and they picked me. It was close. It was me and Jimmy.
I wish I'd won.
I stand by this, and I really agonized over the responsibility of this choice, because how to pick just the right terrible book was the real issue. And you'll be pleased. I almost picked The Fountainhead by Ayn Rand.
Oh, no. Is that 1,000 pages?
It's like 800. But
and it makes as much sense.
You're welcome. That's what I think I should be saying. Because instead I picked Industrial Society and Its Future by Theodore John Kaczynski, Dr. Theodore John Kaczynski. The Unabomber, his manifesto from 1995. And he was,
it lives up to the hype.
He's recently deceased. He's rested in power. And this is his, this is how we can best his memorialize legacy. The great man, his legacy. But he was really worried about the Industrial Revolution and how it has ruined people.
Really after the fact.
Yeah, and he probably thought, we were probably going to leave behind us a toxic earth. Mm. This beer is called Toxic Earth from Abomination Brewing, and it's the Extreme Matcha Edition. It's like fucking Ecto Cooler.
Wow, it's bright green.
That's a lot of matcha. Green. Matcha's not even that color.
It's a great double IPA. It doesn't taste like real green, but it's really, really good.
Do you guys know why they called him the Unabomber?
Universities and airlines.
Yeah, so underwhelming.
Well, because he had it was like a decade and a half of attacks.
It was 17 years. It was so fucking long.
It down.
Like to really, honestly, not that many bombings. Kind of a slacker.
Kind of a bitch. He killed 3 people.
But I think he killed. He didn't even kill people that really he meant to, or someone he didn't mean to, because a secretary opened it up, or she maybe lived. I don't know. He really sucked, honestly, as a terrorist
and a writer. It turns out,
can confirm.
He uses the royal we throughout this. Like, there's more than one person, even though no one wanted to fuck this dude, so it was just him.
Well, do you know what he refers to himself as FC throughout the book? Do you know what FC stands for?
Fuck child.
Freedom Club.
Wow, that's honestly worse than fuck child.
Fuck child sounds like a GWAR song.
Fuck child is actually a Prince album.
Oh, God. I think Raspberry Beret is on Fuck Child. He wrote this manifesto, and he demanded it. He sent it to the FBI, I believe, or the press, or both.
He sent it to the New York Times and the Washington Post and demanded that they print it. And then the newspapers called the FBI. It's like, do you think we should print it? And they said, yeah, sure. Go ahead. Do it. Because he said, if they don't print it, that he will send out more bombs. So they're like, yeah, okay.
This thing sucks anyway. Just print it. No one's going to change their mind because this shithead.
He said, I will end it if you publish it. And they're like, well, maybe someone will read this shit and not fall asleep, and they'll recognize the ramblings.
Which is exactly what did happen.
That's what happened.
It's incredible that worked. Janet Reno had to personally approve this, apparently. And
and so they named Reno, Nevada after her.
David Kaczynski was like, this sounds like my crazy fucking brother Ted. And it turned out to be true. But I think the most interesting thing about this book is that it became central to his criminal case, because he tried to defend himself in his trial. And the judge's like, fuck no, you're just going to make a scene, like a circus out of this, and just try to use it as an opportunity to espouse your nonsense. You have to have an attorney. So his attorneys try to use this as evidence that he was fucking crazy. And the prosecutors were like, no, this is the writings of a lucid mind. Like, this guy was not insane. He was deranged in like what he believed about society and how it functions, but he was not he was not insane in the legal sense that
he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, exactly.
He wasn't like, whoops, I mistakenly sent out dozens of bombs.
Yeah. Well, those were cookies. No, he and
the pages got stuck together in the recipe book. That's why none of them went off very well. They were half cookie.
And so then he ultimately accepted a plea deal for life imprisonment without parole, but to avoid the death penalty, I think.
Yeah.
And then spent the rest of his... He just died last year, right? 2023?
Yeah, last year.
Publishing more shit.
They were all erotic novels about seahorses.
He is Chuck Tingle. No, they are...
You know, if Chuck Tingle books stop coming out, we'll know what happened.
Pounded into the butt by my own mail-placed bomb. So, the book.
If you can call it that.
The oeuvre, whatever the word is. Nate, tell us about it. You look jazzed.
It starts out... So, first weird thing about the book is it's a series of numbered paragraphs.
It's like an assignment.
Who does that?
You know, when they're going to print it in the newspaper, you don't know what page things are going to end up on. You just want to really just remove all doubt.
I guess. So, okay.
Formatting issues are a bitch.
And it's
that
called...
That makes shockingly real sense.
Industrial. So it's called Industrial Society in Its Future. And at the very first paragraph, it says, "The Industrial Revolution and its consequences have been a disaster for the human race." I had heard his thing was he didn't like the Industrial Revolution. He wanted everybody to go back to some like pre-industrial thing. I assumed, I thought I might have known why. Turns out I was entirely wrong. I would have guessed he hated the Industrial Revolution because something about like, you know, the like purity of like the, you know, the farmers and something like that. Nope, doesn't care about that shit at all. He hates what he calls leftists or leftism. If the word woke was invented, that's exactly what he would complain about. He complains that the Industrial Revolution makes people woke, and most of what you can read in this book, you can see on Fox News every fucking day. There was a guy who was running for Senate in Arizona. His name was Blake Masters. He lost. He said on some interview, like, what is a writer or a thinker you look up to? And he said, I don't know, like Ted Kaczynski. I know why.
Should have looked into who that was.
He fucking lost. So like good, I guess, but he didn't lose by that much. He literally spends the first like third of the book, maybe not third, but
there's a big chunk in the beginning and a big chunk at the end.
The thing is, the thing that he hates is he thinks industrialization and the Industrial Revolution makes people into woke liberals, who he hates. That's why he wants to dismantle the society.
That's not what he's saying, though.
That's what he hates.
It's part of it. He does hate them, but
he does. Yeah, but his real issue is about what he calls the power process.
Yeah,
that's the issue. It's not about, I mean, he shits on the lefties a lot, the leftists a lot, and it's very clear that he's a conservative when he talks about, like, and they're teaching sex ed in schools, and that's wrong.
And they won't let you like spank that. Your kids anymore.
I highlighted that, yeah.
And he talks about political correctness, which was a big thing in 1995. But he's much more insane and nuanced.
He is definitely more nuanced. He definitely hates them. He thinks that they are a product of the result of the Industrial Revolution, which is...
Okay, paragraph 7.
I like that there's paragraph numbers.
It's kind of convenient when you're trying
to quote it.
Paragraph 7, but what is leftism? During the first half of the 20th century, leftism could have been practically identified with socialism. Today, the movement is fragmented. It is not clear who could be properly called leftist. When we speak of leftists, that's him speaking. He's we. When we speak of leftists, in this article...
if you want to lump yourself in with him.
We have in mind mainly socialists, collectivists, quote, politically correct types, feminists, gay and disability activists, animal rights activists, and the like.
And Jews. No,
it's, you know, no, he does not mention the Jews once.
I was impressed by his lack of Jew hatred.
It's implied.
I mean, he's Polish, so he definitely is not a fan.
I mean, the second to last paragraph, or third to last, was like, he says, our discussion of leftism has a serious weakness. It is still far from clear what we mean by the word leftist. There doesn't seem much we can do about this. It's like, oh, okay.
Well, yeah, so he goes on and on about the leftists, but then it doesn't matter. Like, that's just him throat clearing.
Yeah, he does that, by the way, I hate when people talk about how, you know, racists are assholes.
Yeah, he puts a bunch of shit in there, and you're like, then they really do read like conservative, like stereotypical conservative.
Nothing you
points.
Can't see in the comment section on any internet site now.
Okay, so paragraph 14.
We mocked the numbered paragraphs, but here we are.
Feminists. It actually is a very convenient. You're right. Feminists are desperately anxious to prove that women are as strong and as capable as men. Clearly, they are nagged. Freudian slip, by the fear that women may not be as strong and capable as men. Leftists tend to hate... I'm on paragraph 15 now. Leftists tend to hate anything that has an image of being strong, good, and successful. They hate America. They hate American... They hate Western civilization. They hate white males. They hate rationality. This is like every day on Fox News.
It's also confusing because, like, he hates these people, but like he also kind of hates similar things. Like he doesn't love Western civilization because Western civilization,
uber industrial.
Yeah, like the industrial. I mean, I don't know if it's Eastern or Western particularly, but like, what parts of America does he like? I don't.
The woods.
He doesn't really like the right wing either. He just hates leftist opinions, or what he calls leftist opinions. But it's not like he's like. He doesn't like conservatism. He just kind of is one, but doesn't like the conservatives in power. He doesn't like any kind of government at all. He wants to bomb everything until people just give up and give up industrialization and all technology.
He wants a complete revolution that might mean killing a lot of people. He says it pretty specifically. That a lot
and
of
even
people
if
have
it,
to die.
If they don't kill them directly, the complete regression away from technology will kill most of the earth. But he's like, well, you know, you got to make a big omelet or something.
His optimistic version of that is like, maybe the population will shrink just because like the birth rate will drop. And then as people die, we'll get to the number we need to get to. That's his
really
optimistic
hit equilibrium.
We'll get to, yeah. So, but his real, he argues, he asserts,
he definitely that asserts.
It is a lot of assertions, and it's a house of cards, right? He just builds these things on his premises that he sets up, despite apparently being a brilliant person.
Well, he struggles from the
math
genius. Yeah, math genius, not other kinds of genius, including bomb making, apparently, because his bombs mostly sucked.
he's a B-minus bomb maker. But
B-minus at best.
But I think part of the reason why he shits on the left so much and hates them with particular passion is because he was a college student and professor in the late 60s, which was a pretty left place with like his peers, because he was really young.
He was at Berkeley. He was a professor at Berkeley. Not College of Music. The other one. The one in California.
He was the one everyone knows. He was the youngest professor they ever had ever at that point. He was a 25-year-old professor.
He went to Harvard at 16, right?
Yeah, he apparently had a genius IQ. He
doesn't make you a good writer.
No, it doesn't. Evidently, he also he specialized in some type of math that basically doesn't exist anymore because it doesn't matter. Like people finished that math, which I don't understand shit about math, but like his math is done. They were like addition, I guess. I don't know. It's like, they're like, oh yeah, we got those. We know how to do that now. So he did all these like proofs or whatever. And then I think a lot of his complaints here come from his dissatisfaction with, like, the American college, like,
both milieu. Liberal academia.
But, like, professors of any kind he shits on because it's part of his power play.
Yeah, we'll get to the power process.
Power process. Whereas, like, basically, what it boils down to is humans get all their basic primary needs met just easily because of the way civilization exists. So we have to spend all of our other time, all of our free time, doing stuff that doesn't matter, like science and anything. Because you're not, like, farming or scrambling for food and building shelter out of the woods out of a moose's dick or something. I don't know.
Well, he argues that, like, society isn't even functioning anymore based on our needs or interests. We have created this system that functions to perpetuate itself, that humans are slaves to society, and society doesn't care about humans. And he talks about, like, inventions and how they seem to make our lives easier, but we can't get rid of them. We're stuck using them. And he shits on scientists, and they're like, they're not really curious because they look into dumb bullshit, like how many gluons are in a fucking atom or whatever.
Yeah,
the fuck.
He's like, for a fucking math nerd, he's like, people don't care about different kinds of kelp or something. He's like, well, some people fucking do. It's like, people don't think the way I do about stuff, so therefore they're all wrong. If we don't all like the same things, then it's because we spend too much time. We're not spending enough time looking for food and shelter.
So what he identifies, air quotes, is that human beings participate in something called the power process, which I think is a self-help book by Tony Robbins.
Isn't that the book about Robert Moses?
It's a 15,000-page book about Robert Moses, yeah. And it's all about goals and the type of goals people have. And he's kind of like warping Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and that we have physical immediate needs, and then there's, you know, like nicer, you know, like to haves that we don't need. And then he just asserts anything that people do that is not fucking eating and sleeping is unnecessary. He calls it a surrogate activity
and shouldn't be done.
And it's stupid to do. And if you think you're doing it for some other reason, you're not. I mean, it's kind of like the arguments people make today when they, like, dismiss ideas they don't like, and you're like, oh, you've just internalized the wrong view, right? Oh, you disagree with me? It's because you've internalized homophobia or something like that, or internalized racism, or as if a way to just dismiss it instead of actually discussing the idea.
Instead of understanding that people like to do stuff that other people don't like to do.
Yeah, so he's like, scientists are just doing that for fucking attention, or they're just studying stupid things for
prestige. Spends years, breaking down different kinds of yeast because he wants attention.
Yeah, he's gonna get that
now,
sweet yeast.
Some of that
pussy.
Does happen. In
it
academia.
Definitely, certainly,
of course,
happens.
It does.
I had one professor, history professor, who was like, he was an Egyptologist. That's what his history PhD specialization was in. It's in Egyptology, and he could, like, read hieroglyphics, and he was telling us about how, like, wild
and
hieroglyphics were.
And he's definitely seen a boob before.
And he was like, yeah.
But only from the side.
These things come in 3D.
And he talked about how, like, his professor, meaning the one that he studied under when he was getting his PhD.
Ramses.
Like, yeah. He used this term, make paper. He would write about something, and then his, like, colleagues at other universities would respond to it. Then he'd respond to them, and he's just like, you just make paper. You just, like, perpetuate the thing. And so people do definitely just, like, I'm going to study this thing so I can write a paper.
This is that tweet where it's like, my friend is an Egyptologist, but the only thing you can do with that except teach other people to go Egyptologists. It's a literal pyramid scheme.
I mean, that is a big part of academia, I think.
Yeah, and that's certainly for any, like,
pretty hyper-educated people. We don't have PhDs, but we all have graduate degrees, which is, you know, in our circle in New York City, is like probably is more common. But, like, that's a lot of people don't get that level of education. Like, we have more education than is necessary. So I'm going to do this dumb job.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. But that's part of the academic world is the publish or perish thing. Like the way you get tenure, the way you get a job at a, is by publishing things. And you publish, you have to find some weird, stupid thing nobody said before. So you're like, look, the hermeneutics of having your second toe longer than your first toe in ancient Egypt.
The hermeneutics of Herman's Hermits.
Yes, right. It's as applied to the first three wives of Henry VIII via the song I'm Henry VIII by Herman's
Hermits. I am, I said. By Okonkwo.
It's like the longest before and after.
Speaking of,
so all that's beer, true, Nate.
I just want to drink.
So
this
I guess
thing.
Nate's saying Ted is right. By the way, go on.
Oh yeah, we got that part. Clip that.
Nate's pretending all that Fox News shit to just hide his real feelings.
Ted hated technology, including probably the loom. Right? He would hate the loom.
He's a Luddite. Yeah, he was against them.
Well, interesting thing about the Luddites, we'll talk about after. He hates technology, he would have had to make his own fucking clothes, like, with his own hands. He would have had to wear a lot of ugly sweaters. This is a way-after-the-fact seasonal beer from the store. It is a 10% alcohol stout with gingerbread.
Oh.
From Front Porch, was it? Front Porch. You know, I don't really love gingerbread, but that's fucking awesome.
Does it taste like gingerbread?
My teeth hurt. No, absolutely, it absolutely fucking tastes like gingerbread. It's pretty fucking good. A lovely Christmas beer in April.
Just in time for Easter.
Speaking of Easter, he also hated eggs. No, I made that up. I don't know.
But you know he was a raw milk guy.
Oh, absolutely was a raw milk absolutely. Guy. He voted for Ross Perot constantly.
He was a raw water guy.
Raw water. He was raw everything. But
raw dog. That was his name in college.
The Luddites, you know, they have this rep as like these, you know, anti-technology people. But what they really were people who were like, these fucking machines are taking all of our jobs and we're going to all be homeless and broke and starve to death. Then the people who own the factories like, suck our dick. And so they destroyed the machines saying like, you can have the machines, but we're going to run them. They're like, fuck you. And so they burned them all. And then they executed a lot of them. But a shockingly few number of them, because none of them snitched. The least snitches in a revolution, I think, of all time.
Well, ironic thing is that they were destroying looms and snitches get stitches, Jimmy.
Yeah, but they didn't. They wanted to be the ones doing the stitches. If you're not going to hire a good union stitcher, you can't give stitches.
Nate, so I'm drinking.
Drinking.
So I'm already more than halfway through Murderous by Pipeworks. This is a barley wine style ale laid to rest in bourbon barrels for 4 years. And it is 14.3% alcohol. And I'm feeling it. Yeah.
In honor of Ted, who's been laid to rest for 1 year.
About 6 months at this point. But.
Anyway, yeah, so this is a very, very bourbon barrel-aged flavor.
Barley wine.
For sure, barley wine. It's good. It tastes like raisins, as I said before. Yeah, tastes like raisins.
Ted hated raisins because they required grape technology, and you don't do that. He can eat his grapes big and wet the way Gaia intended.
I think grape technology is an amazing band name.
The Grape Leap Forward.
Oh, God.
So Ted Kaczynski's like, main thing he says about technology is it's like, it's like running our lives, or we're running our lives for technology, but also like, we're not like real men anymore because we don't have to like hunt our food down, is kind of like what he's saying.
We end up doing all these surrogate activities instead.
Doesn't say it exactly like that, but he's kind of saying like modern life is too easy.
It's partially an easy thing. It's partially it's not exactly like a manly man thing. It's his version of what autonomy is, which is everyone's got their own version of what freedom means. As he says in this book, you know, and as we still deal with today, like, what does it mean to be free? Like, is it freedom to live off the land and starve to death? Sure, yes. is it freedom to have basic things like a basic safety net of a society? And to, like,
so what you're talking about is paragraph 94, where he says, freedom means being in control of the life and death issues of one's existence, food, clothing, shelter, and defense against whatever threats that may be in one's environment. Yeah, exactly.
But the thing is, no human ever had that. No human ever had control over those things.
He very heavily leans into, like, we had this freedom in the old days. Like, they lived under fucking monarchs forever. Like, maybe you never saw one, but...
The freedom they had was... He talked about the technology piece of it. Like, we're distracted. Oh, because in the past, people had the freedom to sit in the dark or sit in a room with a candle. Like, there was nothing to do.
They weren't like oh, thank God we are truly free.
So, and also... What you guys said, I agree with. But also, maybe freedom actually means food, shelter, clothing is no longer a life and death issue, and you can do other shit with your time. Like, yeah, that's actually what freedom means, instead of having to, like, go out and, like, hunt your own deer for dinner that makes you a man. Which is, I feel, he doesn't say that specifically, but I feel like that's what he's trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, that is, you know, it's what I meant when it was like, everyone's version of what freedom is different. Like,
I think it's here in paragraph 63. Freedom is just another way of saying nothing left to lose. Nothing. And, no?
What? Is this Steven Seagal movie?
Nate, you know that lyric?
Yeah. By Chris Me and Bobby McGee
by the Chris Christopherson's, but you know, Janis Joplin's a famous version of it.
I don't know that one.
Really? What the fuck, man?
Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. You've heard it.
I just know freedom isn't free. It costs folks like you and me. Freedom costs $1.05.
That's from
South Team Park, America.
Right? Oh, is it Team America?
Yeah. But yeah, that, his main gist is we can't truly be free because society has hemmed us in with all this society shit, and so I can't fuck a bear if I find one. Instead, I've got to go to Denny's for a Grand Slam breakfast because I can't be free in America.
Instead of hitting a solid triple with a bear. But I mean... He just kind of concocts things. As I'm starting to get the sense that this guy might have been unhinged, but
he was definitely a little out there.
He was a little bit like in a rare autobiographical moment in the book, he says, "Kids aren't supposed to just do math all the time." He says at some point, you know, we try to trick children into doing schoolwork, into thinking school is a good thing, right? Trying to trick them into being computer nerds, he says. Is it almost a direct quote?
He does call them computer nerds all the time.
Because that's going to, which like in 1995, like they were like, Oregon Trail's the shit.
He did actually say in one part, like, oh, and you could post your opinions on, quote, the internet.
That'll never catch on.
Little did he know that would be the main pastime of most people, like us. I mean,
he might have a point about how the technology wastes our time, but...
He was actually quite prescient in a way.
If we're going to be honest, he makes some points that are fair, but they're not points that other people haven't made better and without blowing up people that didn't have anything to do with this shit.
Yeah, and doesn't justify bombing people. Not even close.
Yeah, and it's like the points that he makes are like, yes, technology affects us greatly, and we become reliant on it, and society,
in his opinion, it doesn't affect us in a good way.
Yeah, certainly.
It's only negative. The positives are secret negatives.
It's certainly a common opinion that like technology does bad things to us. That happens all the time.
If you've ever been on Twitter...
Yeah, oh Jesus. He would have loved Twitter, ironically.
Actually, his favorite thing would have been Goatsy. That would have been his favorite.
He would have loved Goatsy. His profile picture would have been Goatsy.
It would have been Goatsy, and he just reposts that in Blue Waffle every day.
But he makes some points, but the problem is that the points he makes are not necessarily supported by the assertions he makes. Like, the whole power principle shit is stupid. It's a stupid thing to think. It's dumb. No one thinks we're better off being hunter-gatherers or agrarian societies, except people who think that they're better than average people at stuff. Like, all these fucking, like, people's like, just gotta go and live off the land. It's like, yeah, you could maybe do that for a little while, but it takes people working together to live in any meaningful way. Like, you can live off the land for a while and be fucking miserable. Are you free? Sure. What kind of freedom is that, though? Like, you could be autonomous as a, you know, a small group, but he just fucking hates anyone telling him what to do ever. Like, don't put your dick in the pencil sharpener again, Ted. He's like, I want to be free.
You've got a point, and soon my dick will, too.
So, another crazy thing he says. This is paragraph
just
99.
Just one more?
There's one per paragraph, dude.
Yeah, it is every paragraph. And I definitely did plenty of
sometimes
skimming,
more.
Like, okay.
I mean, it's the same 99. Thing over and over again.
Paragraph 99. Think of history as being the sum of two components, an erratic component that consists of unpredictable events that follow no discernible pattern, and a regular component that consists of long-term historical trends. So everything.
What?
Think of history as things you can predict and things you can't predict. So like everything.
But what if you put them together?
But how do you know what are the things beforehand? What are the things you're going to predict and what are the things that you can't predict?
Well, that's
you
part
can't
of power,
predict that.
Power principles.
Like, this is a his view. Okay, so his view of history is an unfalsifiable assertion. Like,
this entire thing is.
Also, other people who had, like, who viewed all of history as only one thing, Hitler and Karl Marx. So, like, he's trying to, like, fit all of history into, like, one thing. I can't think of the word right now.
Well, he falls into the logical fallacy of the no true Scotsman fallacy a lot, right? Do you know that, that is?
Where, nope. What is that?
No true Scotsman is like, someone's like, no true Scotsman would ever eat a hamburger. And then you go, well, I know Angus ate a hamburger yesterday. Well, he's not a real Scotsman. It's a way it's a way of just dismissing the evidence contrary to your position.
The evidence
by saying,
doesn't
that doesn't
fit your
count.
Stereotypes.
That's not real. Well, yeah, like the Scottish. It's just where it comes. I don't know why that name is what it.
But I mean, it is basically boils down to this is the way things are. It's like, well, this
it's
thing doesn't.
It's
like,
is
well,
what
this
it is.
You, not that's because it's not a real this.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. So he, at one point, he talks about revolutions and how important revolutions are, and he says the American Revolution doesn't count. I'm gonna find the quote. It's ridiculous.
It's not the worst point he makes, because he's saying like, look, the signs are all pointing towards democracy. They just made a different one. It was a different ruling class that ended up ruling them. It's like, sure. But it was definitely revolution. He said, like, because his version of revolution is society changes, and their society didn't change. It was just a different people in charge, which is how most revolutions go.
But it did change in dramatic way. Like, actual representative government in the former colonies.
Well, he's saying in England, they all ended up having that also.
But
it took them a little longer.
Historians often. I mean, like the age of revolutions, starting with the American Revolution and then quickly followed by the French Revolution, are seen as major turning points in history.
He says the French Revolution didn't work, and he's like, and thank God for that. I was like, well, what the fuck? Whose side are you
on? He's like uber conservative, and the French Revolution was like wildly not conservative, at least.
And he also talks because of the French one and the Bolshevik Revolution, and it was like, you know, the Bolsheviks in Russia were outsiders. They vigorously opposed censorship and the secret police. They advocated self-determination for ethnic minorities and so forth. But as soon as they came into power themselves, they imposed a tighter censorship and created a more ruthless secret police than anyone had ever existed under the czars. It's like, Yeah, revolutions often just lead to shitty people being in power also. But, like, also he blames that on leftists, which is, you know, because right-wingers Lenin have never have had a revolution that then did censorships.
The whole, the leftist thing is just absurd. I mean,
yeah, he harps a little bit much on it.
It's a bit much. But to say, like, when they say, I'm trying to find the exact quote about revolutions, right?
Control-F Jew.
He doesn't say Jew. He's surprisingly no Jew talk. He said that for his second
restrained.
Second book, The Junabomber. An attempt at social reform acts in the direction in which the society is developing anyway. And that's what he says about American Revolution.
Yeah.
He says, the American Revolution was not a revolution in our sense of the word. That's how you know you're talking to someone who's full of shit, by the way. I was like, yeah. That's not how I use the word.
I have my own definitions of words. Maybe you don't know.
Yeah. It's like, oh no, that's just what I mean by MILF. The founding fathers did not change the direction or development of American society, nor did they aspire to do so. Yes, they did. They weren't like, let's just continue this, but like we'll be secret kings. Like they really were trying to make drastic changes to government, to governance. And he's just willfully misinterpreting, or he's doesn't know anything. Maybe both. He was kind of out there. But that's like one of the few concrete things he mentions in the book. Everything else is just kind of these vague assertions like, people know when this happens, that happens. Like, he never talks about it. There's no, like, data. This is one of the few things that he mentions by name. It's like, I don't think that's... It certainly doesn't pass the smell test. Like
that and the spanking the kids thing, which he brings up a lot.
Dude, this guy was born to Polish immigrants in the 1940s. He got his ass beat.
Well, he keeps saying, like, people, you know, all these fucking leftists and their, you know, anti-racism and anti-homophobia and, you know, they don't like child abuse, which, you know, that's great. Actually, I'm okay with that. Like, but we can't even spank our kids anymore? Fucking leftists. It's like, what?
You could totally hit your kids. I hear.
I can hit my kids. They're my kids and I'm allowed to. I own them.
Just don't leave a mark.
I think that was a quote from...
The Old Testament.
The people that booed driver's license at the libertarian fucking thing.
Oh, yeah. was like Vermin Supreme there?
Vermin Supreme? I don't think Vermin Supreme's a libertarian.
I don't know what he is.
He just has a boot on his head. But it is like a thing among like very, very, very out there libs and, you know, autonomous people. They're like, my children are my property. I can do what I want with them. It was like Murray Rothbard. It was just like, I can't murder my kid. I can't murder him. But if I let it starve to death, that's fine. That's my property.
Murray Rothbard was also apparently a Holocaust denier. But
yeah, he's a special breed.
And he's an ANCAP, so I'm sympathetic to him in some ways. But I listened to like an hour and a half podcast debate yesterday with libertarians arguing about immigration, and they're just like, "You can come if you are invited to this land." It's just like they're fucking insane.
Some of them are fucking straight up open borders people.
Well, oh yeah, I mean, pure libertarians are.
Yeah,
because like they're libertarian, like the most extreme libertarians are basically anarchists. So if you don't believe in a government, how could you believe in a border?
Got to be free.
Which Ted Kaczynski is an anarchist of sorts, but
he is of sorts. He is so many things of sorts. no one's trying to claim this dude, except a bunch of fucking weird Twitter users, probably.
I feel, you know what though, man? I was like, some parts, if you pulled the right quotes out of this, I feel like you can get this to trend on social media with dumb people. Like, if you got the right person, TikTok.
Osama bin Laden was trending popularly on TikTok. Like,
that's what I was
thinking. 2 months ago.
This bin Laden guy is making some good points.
I mean, it was, you know, something that happened before these kids were born. Like, fucking no one younger than us, no one half our age knows who the fucking Unabomber is. Like, honestly, I didn't even really know much about him other than he sent some packages out and he was bad at bombing.
I mean, honestly, when I picture the Unabomber, I'm picturing the sketch where it looks like Weird Al. You know, like just him like with the hoodie and sunglasses? The glasses. It looks like Weird Al.
I never thought about that, but okay.
Look at it right now.
I'm going to look at it.
Tell me that's not Weird Al Yankovic in a hoodie.
Now I need to know. Yeah, that does look a lot like Weird Al. Holy
it's
shit.
Fucking...
It's like before he takes his hood off in the big at the beginning of Fat in the subway.
Yeah, exactly.
So weird. That does look like, oh, fuck, that's ruined forever now.
And this guy was really just against mandatory fun, thanks to industrialization. But the other thing, he talks about these like hunter-gatherer societies as if he's an anthropologist. And he's really inventing them. He has no evidence. He's just like, hunter-gatherers, just, they're fucking awesome. Like, are they? When they die at 30?
But they were truly free.
They were free the whole time. They were free to watch 9 of their children die as infants.
Oh, he does have this disclaimer paragraph right after that. That was like, it is true that not all was sweetness and light in primitive societies. Abuse of women was common among the Australian Aborigines. No one else, of course. Not all at regular industrialized societies. Until, like, the 60s. Transsexuality was fairly common among some of the American Indian tribes. Okay, I don't know how true that is.
That is a claim you will hear from modern, I don't say this disparaging, like trans activists will talk about the third gender or the third sex.
Yeah, the two spirits and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I think that's different from being transsexual, but it is, you know, they're saying like...
It's really hard to know because yeah, like, a lot I think of people are manipulating those terms for their own
Ted
gain.
Kaczynski is probably not the best source on transsexuality amongst the Native Americans.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust him on that.
Also, he's calling them primitive, as though
he means primitive has connotations by not using technology.
Yeah, but like primitive has connotations of like them. Primitive. They're not as good. No one says primitive like in a good way.
I get the sense that he was the kind of guy to use a word that people
has his own definition for words.
Well, yeah, but like to choose a word that you know people are going to misinterpret, so you could lecture them on what the word really means.
According to
so
me.
So he'd be like, what's that?
According to me.
No, but just he's the type of guy to be like, well, you shouldn't be so niggardly with that. You know it doesn't mean that. Like, I feel like he's that kind of guy.
We're taking it back.
It has nothing to do with it. They made that up.
The like, leftists.
I get that sense of him. So when he's like, when I say primitive, I'm not judging them. I mean, they don't have spark plugs or whatever, like, which is true. The Comanche did not have electricity or whatever he's referring to. But I like this thing where he talks about the entertainment industry. This is in paragraph, I'm going to copy Nate now, paragraph 147. The entertainment industry serves as an important psychological tool of the system, possibly even when it is dishing out large amounts of sex and violence. Sex and violence, what did he think the hunter-gatherers spent a lot of their time doing? They fucking were fucking a lot and fighting a fair amount, either among, not necessarily amongst themselves, but with other groups of people they bumped into.
And also hunting is fighting.
They had pretty extreme lives, hunter-gatherers. And then I can't find the quote, but he says something like, they would just sit around all day and not be bored. No, they sat around and invented culture. They sat around and invented storytelling and song and myth because they were fucking bored. Like, he just makes that up, right? Am I wrong, Nate? Like,
apparently, from what I've heard, being a hunter-gatherer is actually not that... Yeah, right, from what I remember. There was only so much time in the day you really needed to go gather food because if you couldn't gather too much, or more like if you spent too much time gathering too much, it would all just go bad. So the hunter-gatherers, they would gather enough that they needed and then they would leave the rest. And so it actually isn't that many hours a day. Maybe it was like 20 hours a week. When there's food to find, that's the problem. Like they also went through periods of famine. Periods of famine a lot of the time. So yeah, you could spend 40 hours a week, you know, punching the clock and looking for your food, but there's no food to get, and then people starve to death.
Speaking of cock punching.
Speaking of
I was hoping you guys would forget.
Some people, instead of punching the cock, they hit us up with money. And they
punch
get
us
to
with
vote.
Their money cock.
No. There's all kinds of that.
That's the thing my wife says to me all the time. Because I don't understand our finances as a husband. And she like, suck my money cock. I'm like, I don't know what that means, but okay. Yes, daddy.
But they send us these things, and we give them in return bounteous goods, because we are not hunter-gatherers. We have our basic needs met, and we give them what they need, which is acknowledgement in the form of saying their names out loud once a month. And sometimes their names are very cruel and painful. And so this month, Nate is going to read out the names of those that have chosen to support us and those who have chosen to insult us. So how's it going, Nate?
Okay, so because it's my turn, I would like to thank
the fine people on both sides.
Exactly. These people are the bomb. I'd like to thank Ween, Josh.
Unabomb.
Mr. Slotch, Meep, Putang Clan, the Black Rabbit of Inlay, Avery, Linda, Nathaniel, the only confirmed Nate in Delaware, Richard III, Frederick, William, Derek, Carol. Congratulations to Mike for winning the poll and picking a book almost as boring to read as he is to listen to.
Thanks.
I'd like to thank... I'm glad Mike is part of this podcast. If he wasn't, we'd be successful and everyone would know not to leave their dogs alone with me.
I'm not sure who's more offended by that. I have to think about that one.
Yeah, he got both of us.
Yeah, it's both of us. All right.
Fuck him. Okay.
All right. We have to conspire to have him be mean. No one's been mean to Jimmy, actually. I mean, I'm fine with them continuing to be mean.
There have
Nate.
Been some.
I don't
there
care.
Some. Okay, the problem is that I don't give a shit. I've got nothing left.
They found my Achilles heel.
Okay.
I showed weakness for 1 second.
I'd also like to thank Grace, Catherine, Colton, Aminya Pussy.
Oh, we have some fans from the Middle East. You know, Nate, I never thought I heard you say that phrase, and yet here we are.
I'd like to thank Stephen, Zaphod Beeblebrox, Joe P., Hayden, Emotional Support Burrito, and CL. Okay, and finally, I would like to thank... I, Nate, love asking black people if I can touch their hair. And now I got that thumbs up symbol in my fucking Zoom.
That's
thing.
How much you love it.
Oh my God.
Nate, why would you do that? You know that's not okay.
Wow.
Do they say yes often? Is that why?
Not in my experience.
This is a journey.
Yeah. Was a brief Thanks, respite Paige. From this trash book.
There's so much to unpack here. much like wrong opening with your it. Packages. Well, if you want to join that list, you know what to do. We'll whore ourselves for your dollar a month. So
clearly I will.
Well, we have to get everyone to be mean to Jimmy later. We have to find what makes him sad.
There have been some.
That's my secret. I'm always sad.
We have to find what the one thing that makes him happy.
I don't know.
So let me know if you do. Take it away the next month. It's like, oh, and we'd like to thank I Love Ska. It's really good. Just kidding. It's gay.
Oh, no.
Too much Jimmy's emotions.
I've been living that for 30 years. I think this book can be summed up by the last paragraph, or the second last paragraph, I think it is. It doesn't matter. They both suck. It says, throughout this article, we've made imprecise statements and statements that ought to have had all sorts of qualifications and reservations attached to them. And some of our statements may be flatly false. Lack of sufficient information and the need for brevity made it impossible for us to formulate our assertions more precisely or add all the necessary qualifications. This was not brief.
No, it took way longer than I thought it would to read this. It's only like 100 pages.
It's 241 paragraphs. Or whatever the fuck. And they're all stupid. I mean, to varying degrees, some are fine because they're like transitionary ones. But they all are basically stupid.
I just found another thing about him talking about primitive man. He said, it is true that primitive man is powerless against some of the things that threaten him. Disease, for example. Oh, yeah, that's true. That killed, like, you know, all of them. And he says, but he can accept the risk of disease stoically.
Because he's not here to say otherwise.
Well, not really, because stoicism was invented by civilization. So you can't just... The problem is that he wants to pick a different time to have stopped the clock of civilization, but he can't... He never articulates where or why that time. But he also typed this with a fucking typewriter, so he's a fucking asshole for that.
Which is one of the ways he got caught. Like, they could match his physical typewriter keys to what's on the printed pages that were sent in. So, like, that's how he was caught, by using a typewriter. With a typewriter, obviously, part of the Industrial Revolution.
Did you know, by the way, that when the typewriter, like the stupid QWERTY keyboard, like why the letters are in that way, was because
so the keys didn't get worn out.
It was
so you wouldn't do two adjacent keys, or you would as little as possible keys. Yes. You wouldn't press keys that were next to each other because they would jam.
Right. So they're like common pairs are far apart on purpose. And maybe that's what bothered him when he was hammering this shit. I was like, this should have been simpler.
So, yeah, as Mike was saying, Ted Kaczynski, he says industrial society is wrong, but he doesn't say, like, exactly what we should go back to, but yet what existed before industrialization and democracy, it was feudalism. That is what was just before the period, he says, where everything went wrong. So, does he want us to go back to feudalism?
Borderline slavery for the majority of people.
I think he doesn't want to do that. I think he just doesn't fucking know that, or he doesn't care, because he's idealized this time before Industrial Revolution as like some autonomous, you know, people like doing whatever the fuck they want. It's like there was not really a period in history where everyone did whatever the fuck they want. Like people always kind of lived in.
But we're a social animal,
yeah.
Right? Like, we have to work with other people, and just by doing that, even if it's just two people, compromises will be made. You will have to limit your freedom to in some way, to work with the other person. You will have to hold back on something.
You know, it's like any extremist position where it's like, in theory, sure, but no. Like, it doesn't work. That the thing you were aspiring to, A, never existed, and B, couldn't really exist. And it's a problem with all these. Was like, well, what do you think the society should be like? I was like, well, I don't know. We'll wing it. Or, you know, the problem with this one is like,
or most people will die, and therefore it'll be different.
Well, he doesn't want there to be a society. He doesn't want there to be people working together. Because society limits you.
This is a guy who read The Road by Cormac McCarthy and was like, finally, a happy ending.
Great idea. No notes.
How do I get there? Society, like this term, he never defines that, by the way.
He's a guy who would have fucking loved the Joker movie. for all the wrong reasons.
This guy, this walking, you know what I'm saying?
Those guys that were into that, for like the guys who obviously just missed out on a mass shooting, like doing a mass shooting in school, not just were in one, are the kind of people who still would read this and think, this guy makes some real good points. You know, people that have never had to, you know, actually survive on their own, thinking like, you know, what's holding me back from really being the ultimate alpha that I could be is society's rules. And, you know, that's not true. They're dumb. They're dumb people.
He does actually make a couple of good points. Specifically in his part about how machines are going to rule us in the future. Now, he doesn't use the word AI, but that's actually kind of what he means. For instance, paragraph 173.
A reading from this feels like I'm in church.
From the bard.
What's my motivation? Yes.
In your hymnal.
Turn to Psalm 173, where the Lord said, if the machines are permitted to make all their own decisions, we can't make any conjectures as to the results because it is impossible to guess how such machines might behave. We can only point out that the fate of the human race would be at mercy of the machines. This is what both algorithms and AI are already doing. And he wrote this in the early 90s when the internet was merely like a quaint idea.
But it is also post the first Terminator movie.
That is true, actually.
This is post Terminator 1 and 2. Terminator 2 is 1991.
Was it 91? Oh, shit. Okay.
iRobot. Also, iRobot by Isaac Asimov.
It's a logical extension.
It's really, he's like alluding to many of the same things that Asimov was writing about in what, the 50s?
Yeah. He's not making any like unheard of leaps. There was one paragraph that was like, you know what, he's right, that besides that one, which was, you know, not untrue, but like, not the first person to say this. I don't know, I didn't write the number down, but it was, to start with, there are techniques of surveillance. Hidden video cameras are now used in most stores and many other places. Computers are used to collect and process vast amounts of information about individuals. Information so obtained greatly increases the effectiveness of physical coercion, i.e. law enforcement. Then there are the methods of propaganda for which the mass communication media provide effective vehicles. Efficient techniques have been developed for winning elections, selling products, and influencing public opinion, which is all of social media and data gathering. So, you know, he called that one, but I'm sure he was not the first one to call that either. But once again, right for the wrong reasons.
But he's saying things that aren't astute observations.
And not a reason to undo industrialization and let most people die.
Yeah, we shouldn't be like, Facebook gathers data about us, therefore we shouldn't have antibiotics anymore.
Yeah, obviously, guy was a little crazy. It didn't make a lot of sense what he's saying.
But like, legit, this thing has so many positive reviews on Goodreads, which is a sampling of weirdos, certainly, people that care enough to log the books they make. But like, people are like, this is, you know, everything in this is true. It's like, who the fuck are you?
I think a percentage of them are people joking.
Because I wish that I believed that.
Did you see the top
percentage?
The comment with the most likes is a person who wrote, I hope the FBI knows that I was just curious.
Oh, yeah, that one, certainly, that was a joke. But, like, there's a bunch of them where it's, like, they take quotes from, like, many, many paragraphs. I mean, these whole things, like, look at all the great points he makes, and they're all fucking terrible points. I don't know if it's, like, an incel thing or just a weird, like, outsider thing, like, society is mean to me, therefore we should destroy everything kind of vibe. Which is certainly not surprising, I guess. I guess I could see people like that getting into this, but
I think when you make unfalsifiable claims, some people hear that and are persuaded.
Yeah.
And then they go, see, he's got a point, and you can't prove me wrong, even if they may not recognize that that's what's happening. And there are people who don't fit into society who probably existed in hunter-gatherer societies. There are misfits then too. And then they, but like, where do they keep coming from? How do we have them now, Nate? Wouldn't they have all died out? Or is society creating new misfits? Think about that, man. Wake up. But seriously, like, they, the thing is, he imagines this world where hunter-gatherers were like kumbaya-ing their way through the world. No, they just fucking exiled the people that weren't cooperating.
I'm going to do something stupid and defend Ted Kaczynski.
Yes.
I don't know if he thought, brother. I don't know if he thought really that they were kumbaya-ing their way through the world. I'm sure, certainly, I think that he feels that a short, difficult life is better because you're more free, even though that's not necessarily what freedom is. That's what his version of freedom is, which he can't wrap his fucking head around. There was one thing he put in here where it was like, he talks about what the fuck
he,
was
by it? The way, lived to 81.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. He got taken care of by the state for 35 years, but what he was talking about, he's talking about meaning. To many of us, freedom and dignity are more important than a long life or avoidance of physical pain. I don't know if that's true. Besides, we all have to die sometime, and it may be better to die fighting for survival or for a cause than to live a long but empty and purposeless life.
That's radical talk.
I mean, that's like your opinion, man.
Yeah, this
is like your opinion, man. I think a lot of people would go for, wait, maybe living a long life where you didn't have to fight that hard? That sounds kind of awesome.
And it is an enormously dickish move to be like, there's no purpose in life if you're not struggling for basic necessities. Isn't there, maybe people probably think there's more purpose in a life where you're allowed to choose what you want to do because your basic needs are met. Like, I don't have to worry about, am I going to eat or am I going to die of fucking butt poisoning today? Therefore, I can be a teacher or fucking be a doctor, even though doctors are Jew magic. You know, it's enormously shitty to be like, if you're not just a hunter-gatherer, your life has no meaning.
Well, he shits on everybody's choices. Yeah. You think that is making you happy, but it's not. You think that is a decision you're making, but it's not. It's so disdainful. But he lived through COVID. He died in 2023.
He was an anti-vaxxer, I'm sure.
I'm sure he would. You know what? I hope because he was in federal prison, they made him fucking take it. I got the vaccine. I got like seven fucking shots.
That's more than twice I've gotten.
And you're still alive?
My reception is incredible on my phone. I'm at 12G. I'm almost done with my second card. I got a lot of shots for that. So I'm all for it. The idea,
you still have the cards,
dude? Yeah,
people giving tracks still. I'm trying
to know. I always, every time I go to the pharmacy,
like a fucking Subway punch card.
That's what exactly the joke I made. I was like, dude, if you can make sure you sign that because I get a free sandwich if you do. And they go like, oh, what? And then I go, never mind. And then I leave. But
got a free foot long for you. It's Meatball Hero. Oh.
I thought it was an interesting social experiment. We're like forcing people, adults, to get vaccines, and I was like, oh, that's a questionable thing. But I fucking really hope they made this guy get it. I really hope.
You mean in the prisons?
Oh yeah, I hope they shot him with like a tranquilizer dart of COVID vaccines. Like held him down, they shot him in the ass.
Well,
with, like,
being in federal prison is definitely a loss of autonomy. I will give him that.
He was in that Colorado Supermax one where you never see the sun. Like, the cells don't have windows. So the only light you see is artificial light.
That is not fun.
I mean, that's like something from a young adult dystopian novel. Which is awesome. That's where he ended up.
Oh, and the only light you see is from the glow of your TikTok feed.
Oh, that is a special type of hell, actually. So, we could go into more detail about how insane and full of shit this guy was. But I think we've had enough.
Should anyone read it?
No.
Thank
no
goodness
one
his brother did.
Yeah. Only his brother should have read it.
Though here's the thing. Because everything he's saying, you can just hear on Fox News and Newsmax every day. His brother couldn't have narrowed it down. Like, he got caught because Ted Kaczynski sent the manuscript to the newspapers and got them printed, and his brother was like, this sounds really familiar. I think it might be my brother. That doesn't narrow it down anymore.
No, that's just Dog Turd 37.
Cat Turd is the guy that, like, was on...
I forgot Tucker Cat Turd's a real person, yeah.
Cat Turd's a real guy. Apparently, Kaczynski was talking and writing about this shit as early as like 1970 or something like that. So anybody who knew him knew forever this guy was ranting against industrialization.
So what you're saying is he was a real fucking slacker in terms of getting shit done.
He moved at the speed of mail. Just, you know, snail mail. It takes a long time. But yeah, nowadays, these kind of you see, I hate to say it, far more odious shit on social media from random people that are like Doobie Smoker 93, and then like Elon Musk retweets them. Like, it's like there's not...
Hey, he doesn't retweet them. He just puts exclamation points is like, I don't agree with this, but everyone look at it.
How interesting. This is very edgy. I am so high. Nowadays, I really do think if you got the right influencer to pull some quotes from this, you could get stupid young people or just stupid people to be like, wow, yeah, that's exactly how I feel. Because like a broken clock, this guy and his screed is going to get a few things that sound reasonable to people.
Yeah, devoid of context, there's a few sentences here that is like, sure, yeah, mass surveillance is bad and society is crippled by various things. But then, you know, 99% of it is stupid bullshit by a guy who couldn't even make a real bomb.
Did you notice the part when he criticizes schools? So nowadays, these schools can't even teach because the teachers are so busy taking knives and guns away from kids. That's like a peak. I thought that was like the most Fox News comment in
the
absolutely.
Whole thing. Yeah, absolutely.
But
I could hear, what's that old fuck's name?
On Fox News, you have to be a little more specific.
The guy's like, now you can't even go to school without someone shooting you in the penis. Your white penis, I might add.
You sound like Tucker Carlson. That's who I think you're talking about.
Oh, that
about.
Is Tucker Carlson. No, there was that old guy who was like complaining about, all he did was complain about things. They went to him for like, here's 2 minutes of this guy.
Before the guy back in 60 minutes? Andy Rooney.
Andy Rooney, yeah.
He was not on Fox. He was on, what was that, CBS?
60 Minutes, yeah. But he had the vibe.
Andy Rooney, but Andy Rooney was an old man a long time ago, so it's like a different kind
of
thing.
Is he still alive?
No. He has entered the ether. We are all Andy Rooney now. We're just waiting for the spores.
Tucker Carlson does just talk like Andy Rooney. I never really realized that.
But Andy Rooney, like, what's the deal with mail? And then, like, 5 seconds later, he's like, and that's why I really hate grapefruit. It's just gibberish.
I remember one of his things was like, can't they decide? He's talking about plugs, like the plugs we, you know, electric plugs. Like, why can't they decide whether we're using two plugs or three? And it's like, there's actually a reason. That was his whole thing. Can't they decide two plugs or three?
They just won't make up their mind.
Dude, I remember watching one and he was like, what's with ladies wearing pants in the office? Like, he's like, it's great. And that was like 2005. It was
how
not,
am I supposed to smell their vagina when they walk by if they're wearing pants?
I make up your mind. Either we're at the fish market or not. Andy Rooney was actually pretty funny. If you go back and watch some of this, he was pretty funny, crazy old man.
When he was when he first started being old in the 30s. Was,
I think, you know what it is? Andy Rooney was a chaotic good, or whatever the fuck it is. Ted Kaczynski was chaotic evil.
He just had weird observations, and they just got more and more racist as you went on. Like, ooh, wait, actually, this is changing, Andy.
Whereas Ted Kaczynski's like, I'm going to send that guy a bomb.
No, I'm going to send someone else a bomb that has nothing to do with anything because he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, he. At the end of the day, you should not believe a word he said because he was the shittiest terrorist.
Honestly, he really, for all the notoriety, he was among the shittiest terrorists. The shoe bomber guy killed almost as many people, and his bomb didn't go off at all.
Dude, we've killed almost as many people. He was not a very successful terrorist. He killed three people, which is horrible, and in 16 attacks. That's like baseball stats.
He's like still in the minor leagues.
He's batting 310. I got a pretty good start of the season. It's great.
And over the course of so long, he honestly, real slacker.
Yeah.
I don't know what society, I know he doesn't like society. I don't see how this guy could have survived on his own for that long if he was that unwilling to bomb people. Because it just, you know, got a lot going on. Got to harvest my grapes.
Wait, he committed suicide in prison?
Did he?
He just died of old age. How does an 81-year-old man commit suicide?
He stops eating his bran flakes and he gets so constipated he dies of shit poisoning. Whatever, fuck that guy.
I assumed he died of natural causes. I see
he stopped taking his high blood pressure meds and his blood shot out of his anus until he died.
The final bomb. So I'm glad we got to read this. I had considered this.
I'm glad we got to read this.
I just thought it was a really funny concept to read this book.
It was a funny concept, but it was less fun having to do it because it sucked.
It did suck. I thought it would be. I was genuinely concerned I'd agree with it more. I was nervous. You know what,
honestly, I was too.
Because, like, I fucking privately rail against technology a lot. I'm like, oh, God, look how terrible this is.
Well, there's one thing to rail against, like, I think TikTok is stupid, and I think social media is bad for us. But it's not like, I think we should undo doctors.
Yeah.
It's like any point has points. But taken to any extreme, it's always going to be like, no.
What's the fuck?
It's called the porcupine principle, Michael.
Any point has points. Oh my God.
Did you not even read paragraph 174?
No, but I was really worried. I was like, oh, because I constantly see people on their phone. I'm like, oh, you asshole, don't use that. And then I'm like, oh, let me go check my Twitter. I know it's bad for me to be on my phone or on social media or on whatever. And I know it's bad for the world. And so I was really nervous I was going to read this and be like, oh my God, I could be the next Unabomber. But it was so boring and so poorly argued that I feel much more confident that I...
That you're not going to move into a cabin with a typewriter and like...
And send people M80s in the mail and just hope that the fuse is long enough.
Well, you have to light it from your cabin. It takes a really good timing.
You must have had one of those like pump boxes to detonate things. like a cartoon. Nate, what did you think? Did you? What are your thoughts?
I mean, how much did you love it?
So, I was struck by how much he sounds like he's on Fox News, which I've kind of already talked about. But it's like I thought what he was going to say was going to be so out there and unfamiliar. Like, but instead, it was, oh, I've heard this a million times.
I also thought he'd be environmentally concerned. He didn't give a fuck about the environment.
So he actually said right in the beginning
that
he's not going to talk about that because that's already been said. Like he does actually agree with the environmental stuff that humans are destroying the environment, but he was just like, that's been said. So I'm not going to just go into that. I'm going to go into everything else.
Thank God.
For sure.
He could have said more.
But like for the most part, he's like, your racist uncle at Thanksgiving. And that's mostly what he is.
Plus a few poorly made bombs.
Well, his last two did kill people, so
wow.
He's getting better.
Only took him that long, huh? Like, look, I know it's nitpicking. It's definitely nitpicking. But if you're going to be called the Unabomber, make better bombs, dude. Come on. Like,
well, he should have been called the Tri-Bomber. He got it three times, Jimmy.
Yeah, he tried a bunch of other times and fucking failed.
Apparently, a lot of college classes and shit over the last 30 years have made kids read this book. I can't imagine why.
What classes? Like, dickheads from the past 23?
Yeah, dickheads from the past 203 is, yeah, that's the class. You know what? The more I learn about him, the less I like him.
He started pretty high up, but like, you know, now that I've read his work.
I had my doubts, but now I'm pretty convinced.
Maybe he was just misunderstood. Like, no, he just was a dickhead, and he sucks, and fuck him. And he was a bad terrorist. That's the worst part.
We're America. We're supposed to be number one.
Yeah. We can't have any fucking homegrown terrorists that are better than, like, foreign-made terrorists.
God damn, coming here to take our job.
He's the fucking Buick LeSabre of terrorists. It's around for a long time, but you're like, people still have those?
So I guess nobody should read the book. Are we pretty clear on that?
No one should. Honestly, no one should read the book, because people that would like it definitely shouldn't read this.
They wouldn't.
No.
If you're going to agree with this, you don't need justification. No, that's not the right word. You don't need the endorsement of Uncle Ted. You don't need him to be like, yeah, now somebody agrees with me.
Instead of reading this, just wash your fedora and go outside.
Soap your neck beard. And,
and tell us what you thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter, drunkguysbc, as in bomb, explosion.
Or go to Facebook and Instagram at drunkguysbookclub. And BC, as in freedom club.
Oh, yeah, BC. And head over to Patreon or leave us a review, or, you know, send us one by mail.
And check us out on Goodreads, where we'll be posting our manifesto. You won't guess what we're against. It's your mom.
And check out the Hopped Up
the
Network.
Back of her.
And check out the Hopped
we're
Up
against
Network.
It.
A network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.